Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Millennium Falcon. It was huge. It was there. I begged for it all year long. I was like, I need this. It's not a want, it's a need. And this is before all the safety things. You know, now, like, they make sure the metal doesn't have lead in it. You know, they make sure all these things. I remember putting this thing together because I actually got it, and I just went crazy Christmas morning. But I remember, like, bleeding putting it together. The metal was jagged, but I was like, it was part of the experience. It was okay. I had my tetanus shot. It was all good. And I put it together. It took me 3 straight days, and I finally got it together. I worshiped this thing. I woke up. I looked at it. I smiled. But where do you think it was about 6 months later? Not in the trash. It actually made it to like a little desk in my room. Then about a year after that, guess where it was? My closet, collecting dust. And by the way, they're actually worth money now. I think my parents threw it out. I was like, what are you doing? You know, keep it in my room all these years. No. And so I had this, and there's very few gifts we get, even the ones that we love and are expensive, that are good for years. Think about it. Some of your best Christmas presents ever, after a few months, you stop playing with it, don't you? Well, we've been in this series called Hope, and we are going to look at a passage of Scripture in 1 Peter, and he is going to argue that he has a gift called living hope that he says it's like Christmas morning every single morning. He says the gift of living hope, the gift of his salvation, he says it gives him hope for the future. So today, I'm going to challenge you that because of this amazing gift, the gift of living hope, that you and I can have hope for the future. And he's going to encourage us and challenge us in this passage. Is your salvation like my Millennium Falcon? Is it in a closet somewhere in your heart collecting dust? Or is your salvation something that you look at every single day and you thank and praise God for? Because I know for me, when I got saved, I was in my early 20s. And when I truly accepted Jesus into my heart, it radically changed my life. And for, I'd say, the first year, I began to talk differently, live differently. And over the years, it's so easy to get into a rut where we're not as thankful for what Jesus did for us. Well, before we jump into the scriptures, I want to challenge you to make 2017 a year where every day we are thankful for what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. Amen? So let's pray before we jump into the scriptures. Father, I pray just like it's written in Psalm 51, may today, as we look at your word, Father, may you restore to us the joy of our salvation. Father, may the gift you gave us 2,000 years ago, may it not get dusty in our closet. May it not be a gift that we opened a while ago and don't look at it often. Father, may it be a gift that every morning when we get up, that not only is your mercy new, but our joy and our passion for that gift is there. Father, could we leave this place today excited about our salvation? In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, if you're between 0 and 17, give me a wave in the room. 0 and 17. All right, this is a family service, so our lovely children and youth are all in here. Now, you do need 2 things today in the service, and the ushers have extra in the back. These are on your chairs. Do me a favor, don't stick them on anybody or anything till I tell you. Our maintenance team would, like, greatly appreciate that if these were not all over the stairs. But if you did not get stickers or this insert that was in your program, just slip up your hand. The ushers would love to give you one. Just take a second, make sure everybody has both of these items today. Now, if we put up this first passage, if you've ever seen somebody really excited on Christmas morning, I mean like super pumped, like just going crazy, this is how I picture the Apostle Peter here. The language he uses, he is so excited about the gift that he just received. And we're going to start off, and this is what he says. He says, praise be to God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not a thanks God for the gift of salvation. This is thank you Jesus for my salvation. And he says, in his great mercy, you could also substitute grace there, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Now, Peter does something a little weird here. Is hope a noun or a verb? Think about it. I hope this happens. Verb or noun? Verb. I hope today I get some Chipotle for lunch. Verb, right? So here, Peter kind of plays a little trick on us, and he puts it in the place of a noun, something that we are birthed into. He literally is saying that Jesus is our hope. Peter takes away the idea of hope being our responsibility and says, you don't even have to try to hope for something. He is our hope. Our hope isn't a verb that you and I do. Our hope exists because he's eternal. He came to earth, died. Now he lives eternity in heaven, and nobody can touch your hope. And what I love about that is it's not my responsibility or willpower to try to hope about Jesus. He says, no, Jesus embodies hope. Jesus, he gave us a new birth, our salvation into a living hope because of Christ's resurrection. Then he says in verse 4, he says, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. Do you know what song comes into my mind every time I read that? MC Hammer Can't Touch This. Every single time. And it's partly because Pastor John, about a month ago, as part of her sermon, I don't know if you remember, he did the MC Hammer dance. And it made my whole week, my whole month. I'm trying to get my phone out in the service, the video tape. I couldn't get out fast enough. But now every time I think about my faith, I think about MC Hammer and Pastor John. Every single time. It's a blessing and a curse. It's all right there. And right now, literally what he's saying is, your hope is in the person of Jesus Christ who's in heaven. So that means nothing on earth can ever, ever touch it. Now this next slide, I'm just going to kind of simplify it so I can show you what he said. Peter says, thank you for my present. He says, I didn't deserve it. It was your mercy and your grace. But you just didn't save me. You give me inheritance that can't be touched. And now every day I have a living hope for the future. So Peter describes this beautiful gift. Isn't that a wonderful gift? What a wonderful gift. It's not a salvation that you could possibly lose because you didn't try hard enough. All you have to say is, Jesus, you have my heart. Jesus, this is a faith. And Peter, the way he talks about this, it's like Christmas morning is every morning because he's opening up his salvation again. Now, in the Bible, it says that God is eternal and that for all of heaven, for all of eternity, you and I will be worshiping him. But here's the really cool part is because God is infinite, what's neat is every morning in heaven or however time works in heaven, we get to see a new sight of God because God's infinite. Every morning in heaven, we're going to be in awe of his glory because we're going to see something we didn't see the day before. And that's what Peter says our salvation is like. Every morning we can get up and say, Lord, I didn't realize salvation covered that. Thank you for that gift. And that should be true every day. Now, he's going to challenge us here. He's going to say, what does this look like in your life? How does this gift look like it's processed in your life? And this is what he says. It should change the way we think about trials. It should change the way we think about today and the future, and it should change the way you and I treat people. So 2017 is not going to be changed by a New Year's resolution, but it can be changed by living hope if you and I can apply it to every part of our life. So we're going to jump right in to see how Peter says we should do this. If we go to that first passage, can we read verse 6 together on the count of 3? You with me? 1, 2, 3. In all this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. If I could have my friends help me with my timeline here, we're going to stretch a piece of tape all the way across the sanctuary. I want you all to see something. So if this is time, everybody give a hand for Steve. Thank you, Steve, helping me out. So if this timeline right here, this orange tape, is time as you and I know it, Peter says here, you may have to experience trials for a little while. Now, when I first read that, I think Peter is talking about, you know what, you may have a few months this year where it's not going your way. You know, you may have a trial here or there, it may be finances, but that's actually not what Peter's talking about. Peter is talking about in the span of eternity. So if this orange tape, guys, shake it. Give it a shake. Shake the tape, not your body. It's so awkward. We're in church. Okay, so this tape, if it represents time, then what Peter is saying is our life on earth, now I know for you mathematicians, if this was eternity, you would not be able to see our 100 years. I get it. But just for a visual, this is the time we are on earth. This little bit. And Peter is saying your whole life is a trial compared to the glory with our Heavenly Father. And what he says here is, you may have trials for a little while. These have come. You guys, stay up here. Hold it perfectly still, okay? Don't move, just for a second. So, these trials have come that the genuineness of our faith may be greater than the worth of gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. My friends that may want to draw at this point, on the back of your insert, you have a big number one. Now, not everybody has to do this, just as if you need help to pay attention, you can draw a problem or trial that you may face in life, or maybe your friend faces, and maybe if you don't have any problems, you can draw your parents' problem. You can even draw little thought bubbles and descriptors and conversations. Just make sure you label it well and leave it right in your seat, okay? Okay, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But you can draw whatever problem or trial you have here. Now, for a lot of us, we think that he means, hey, there's just this little trial I have to go through, and then life is going to be perfect. No, Peter is saying you and I are eternal beings. We're meant for perfection and eternity with our Creator, and that this earth, because of sin, turns into a trial. Now, James says it, I think, even better here. If we go to the James passage, James says in James 1, verse 2, he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, and not lacking anything. So living hope should change the way you and I view trials, because when we're in the midst of trial, we can rejoice and say, even though I may have a trial right here for a year or two, maybe my whole life has been tough, what it does, it gets my heart in the right spot for the rest of eternity. So Peter says, don't lose hope. Life is not easy. Life is tough, but God's preparing you for eternity. Now, here's the crazy part with Peter. Peter is writing this, and what historians think is he was arrested right after he wrote this. They think he wrote 2 Peter in between him being arrested, his trial and his death, and Peter would be crucified on a cross, and historians tell us upside down, because he didn't feel himself worthy. Now, history also shows some historians think that Peter was made to watch his whole family be executed before they executed him. That they made him watch his children and his wife die in agony. Peter knows about trials. Peter is not talking about trials from a third person. Peter is saying firsthand, I know you have trials, but my hope is not in this earth. My hope is imperishable. My hope is in Jesus. So I will withstand this trial so that I can be with God. Wave it. Give me a wave. So I can be with God for eternity. Amen? Amen? So the first thing he says is living hope should change the way you and I view trials. Thanks, guys, for holding that for me. Now, I'm going to have, you guys can go ahead and take a seat. At this time, I'm going to have Pastor Troy. If Pastor Troy could join me on the stage. So if you have not met Pastor Troy yet, Pastor Troy is our family life pastor. If you have any children, students that are between 0 and 5th grade, he has already been a blessing to your students since the end of the summer when they came. So at this point, Pastor Troy is going to show you about how hope should affect our decision-making and the way we think.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Andy. Hey, first I want to see, hey, kids, those that drew a picture, I want you to hold it up right now. You drew it up. All right. How many of you, keep holding it up if you drew a picture of your parents having the trial and put the bubbles? Oh, several of you. Okay. Pastor, we're going to have some counseling things, especially back over in this corner later in the service. But, you know, today I'm here to talk about the hope they're talking about. Today, Christmas time in my family was a great time. And one of the things that I looked forward to as a kid is my mom always made these homemade cinnamon rolls. She'd mix the dough. She would knead it. We would watch her do this. Sometimes she'd allow us to help, but mainly didn't want us to because we'd start throwing flour. And so she didn't want a mess. So she would work it out. But yeah, someone's not in their head. Yeah. But it was fun. And we'd watch them rise, and she'd get it all. And then every Christmas morning, you could wake up smelling the rolls cooking. Then they would cool off, and we'd have one. And it, no matter where we lived, my mom made sure I got cinnamon rolls. Well, this year, I go, well, we're a lot farther away than Wisconsin. We're a lot, you know, we're not in Iowa. It's just, and I even said something to Brenda. I go, you know, it's just not going to seem, it's going to be awesome to have our kids here, but it's not going to seem like Christmas Day without having my mom's cinnamon roll. Well, my mom made sure I got one. She packaged a small container and sent it with Jonah and Montana when they came. And I'm going to tell you what, I hid them all. I didn't share any. Actually, I did. I shared one with my wife. I had two left. I warmed one up for her, and I gave it to her. And then I scarfed the other one down really fast. I just didn't tell her I ate one prior to that. And said, these are the last two, honey, I'm going to share. I put them in the closet as soon as I got them. I hid these bad boys. But it was Christmas. That was a hope. There was a part of me deep down inside that I hoped that my mom would send cinnamon rolls with them. But I didn't really think it was going to happen. And that's the one thing we have to change the way we think. Hope changes the way we think. And in this container right here, we're this container. Without hope, without anything, it's just pure emptiness. And we try to find ways that we would fill this. And if we stayed this way, we would fill it with something. This pitcher of water represents hope. Hopefully I don't spill it. It fills our container. Hope is what brings life. As Pastor Andy was sharing, it's a verb and it can be a noun. And when we accept Christ in our life, we allow him to come in and we make this. But a lot of times what happens in our lives is that we hope for things to happen. We hope that a relationship maybe change our life. We hope that this business deal will happen and our lives will be changed forever. Maybe we hope that if I can just make the basketball team, my life would be different. Or these people would like me. Or whatever it may be. We start putting our hope in the wrong things. And then we wonder, why did we fail? Why did this not happen? We go, and all of a sudden our lives, these are the trials. It starts looking like that. And we wonder, why is it not working out? Because we're not putting our hope. And let's pop up the verse for this section real quick, and we're going to read it together. It's at 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16, and we'll read it together on three. I do this a lot in children's church, so when I say three, we'll start reading it together, okay? See how good you listen. One, two, five. Very good. Good job. No, or who's Roland was talking. Oh, right back there. See? Just like your son, he just jumps ahead. All right. Let's read together. Verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Now, I'm not talking about holiness by subtraction. When we bring Christ into our lives, we keep picturing this that we need to just not do certain things. And there is. We should. We should restrain ourselves from doing certain things. But when we truly place our hope in Christ, and we truly make our lives Christ-like, and we allow him to come into our lives, he changes everything that we do. He changes the thought patterns. He changes the way we think. He clears it. He makes it clear when we truly allow him to come into our life and be that to us. Prior to me coming to know the Lord, my thought pattern was exactly the brown water. That's who I was. Unclear, not sure what I was going to do. I changed my major three times in college. I went from pre-veterinary medicine to social work to a teacher, back to social work, back to criminal justice and forensic medicine. That's what my bachelor's degree is actually in forensics and that, not medicine, because I wasn't going to put that much work into it. But that's what I finished in. Why? Because I did not allow Christ to show the hope that I became, who I was supposed to become. And when I allowed him to focus on those things, allowed my desires to be his desires, my entire world changed. And so that's where we're at today. You know, another way to example it, Pastor Andy, if you come back up, you have these dots. Everybody, just take out your dots and let's hold them up. Pastor Andy's going to give you direction what to do with them, but, you know, you may not have known this, but, you know, at one time, Pastor Andy had a hope to become a Giants fan. You know, he really does secretly hope to be a Giants fan, but in reality, he really is a Jets fan. Or even worse, a Steelers. I know. It would even be worse, but I'm not even going to go because I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Andy, but it would be Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah. Oof. So, like Pastor Troy was talking about, when we put hope in the wrong things, it begins to cloud the way we think in our decision making. If we put hope that one day, all my hope is in this job I'm going to get, when we don't get that job, we can feel hopeless. Hey, I hope one day when I have this much money, but then we end up not getting that much money. And just to be transparent, as one of your pastors here, sometimes I find hope, unfortunately, and I'm like, yeah, I hope that person likes the way I did this. And what happens is they didn't, and I end up getting a little wound or a dot. Now, how many adults, kids, look around the room, how many adults have ever put your hope for a season in the wrong thing? Kids, look around the rooms with the adults' hands in their air. It's real. It happens. But what ends up happening to us, we put our hope in the wrong thing, and it begins to, unfortunately, just like that water, it begins to change the way we think. So the reason I gave each of you stickers at this time, if you could, do it with me. Don't do it. If you've ever thought something similar about hope, I want you to pop a sticker somewhere on you. And your neighbor does not need help. You can do it on your own. Now, adults, I know you do not plan on coming to the church and putting stickers on you, but this is fun. This is good. So we're going to grab a sticker. If this is you, if you've ever put hoped maybe in your finances, and your finances forever a season let you down, put a sticker or two on. If you've ever thought to yourself, you know, I hope that one day I'm pretty enough or handsome enough, but then somebody insults you and lets you know maybe not so nice that you're not. Or if you've ever put your hope in a friendship and a friend has let you down, pop a sticker on. Or if you've ever had your senior pastor, just kidding, just messing. Gotcha. Oh man, that's awesome. All right. If you've ever had somebody just let you down and like you were counting on them in this situation in your life, put a sticker on. And what ends up happening, not only do we look like a Dalmatian, but it begins to change the way we think. And if we could go ahead and we're going to have Rashe Henderson come up on stage. And sometimes when we're in life, it can be really hard to see through all of these dots. We have all this hurt, all this baggage, because we have hoped in the wrong things. See, when we have the living hope, we can sink all of our hope into Jesus. And what does it say in 1 Peter? It says that nobody can touch the hope that we have in heaven. But when we put hope in things that are on this earth, stuff breaks. People pass away. Things happen, and suddenly we're in a spot where we can feel hopeless. We can feel like no matter what we do, that we have no hope. Meanwhile, some of us, most of us in this room, we have raised our hands, we've received the gift of salvation, and it's kind of screaming at us as it's covered in dust and says, you didn't find any hope in this world. Why don't you look back and pick up that gift of salvation? So Rashe Henderson is one of our preschool teachers at Marlton Christian Academy, and I've asked her today to read you a book called You Are Special. Now, adults, this is a book, and it is a kid's book, but I promise you, they're going to give you a great direction on how God would have us get rid of some of the junk we have from putting our hope in the wrong things. So I want us to pay attention, and then afterwards, we will come up and continue and close out in 1 Peter. But check out this story, You Are Special.
The Wemmicks were small wooden people. All of the wooden people were carved by a woodworker named Eli. His workshop sat on a hill, overlooking their village. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes. Some were tall, and others were short. Some wore hats, and others wore coats. But all were made by the same carver, and all lived in the village. And all day, every day, the Wemmicks did the same thing. They gave each other stickers. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and a box of gray dot stickers. Up and down the streets all over the city, people spent their days sticking stickers or dots on one another. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood and fine paint, always got stars. But if the wood was rough or the paint chipped, the Wemmicks gave dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could lift big sticks high above their heads or jump over tall boxes. Still, others knew big words or could sing pretty songs. Everyone gave them stars. Some Wemmicks had stars all over them. And every time they got a star, it made them feel so good. It made them want to do something else and get another star. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell. And when he fell, the others would gather around and give him dots. Sometimes when he fell, his wood got scratched, so the people would give him more dots. Then, when he would try to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, and the Wemmicks would give him more dots. After a while, he had so many dots that he didn't want to go outside. He was afraid he would do something dumb, such as forget his hat or step in the water, and then people would give him another dot. In fact, he had so many gray dots that some people would come up and give him one for no reason at all. He deserved lots of dots, the wooden people would agree with one another. He's not a good wood person. And after a while, Punchinello believed them. I'm not a good Wemmick, he would say. The few times he went outside, he hung around other Wemmicks who had lots of dots. He felt better around them. One day, he met a Wemmick who was unlike any he'd ever met. She had no dots or stars. She was just wooden. Her name was Lucia. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her stickers. It's just that the stickers didn't stick. Some of the Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would run up and give her a star, but it would fall off. Others would look down on her for having no stars, so they would give her a dot, but it wouldn't stay either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. It's easy, Lucia replied. Every day I go see Eli. Eli? Yes, Eli, the woodcarver. I sit in the workshop with him. Why? Why don't you find out for yourself? Go up the hill. He's there. And with that, the Wemmick who had no stickers turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello cried out. Lucia didn't hear. So Punchinello went home. He sat near a window and watched the wooden people as they scurried around, giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself, and he decided to go see Eli. He walked up the narrow path to the top of the hill and stepped into the big shop. His wooden eyes widened at the size of everything. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on his tiptoes to see the top of the workbench. A hammer was as long as his arm. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. And he turned to leave. And then he heard his name. Punchinello. The voice was deep and strong. Punchinello stopped. Punchinello, how good to see you. Come and let me have a look at you. Punchinello turned slowly and looked at the large bearded craftsman. You know my name? The little Wemmick asked. Of course I do. I made you. Eli stooped down and picked him up and set him on the bench. The maker spoke thoughtfully as he looked at the gray dots. Looks like you've been given some bad marks. I didn't mean to. Eli, I really tried hard. Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, child. I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, and you shouldn't either. Who are they to give stars or dots? They're Wemmicks just like you. What they think doesn't matter, Punchinello. All that matters is what I think, and I think you are special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I can't walk fast. I can't jump. My paint is peeling. What do I matter to you? Eli looked at Punchinello, put his hands on those small wooden shoulders, and spoke very slowly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello had never had anyone look at him like this, much less his maker. He didn't know what to say. Every day, I've been hoping you come, explained Eli. I came because I met someone who had no marks, said Punchinello. I know. She told me about you. Why don't the sticker stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what they think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take time. You've got a lot of marks. For now, just come to see me every day and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him on the ground. Remember, Eli said as the Wemmick walked out the door, you're special because I made you and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground.
Thank you very much, Roche, for reading that. Thank you. Now, it's a kid's story, but it illustrates so well how God expects us, and he made us to put our hope in him. So if you take out your insert as we close out this, on the back, it has these circles of examples of things that some of us put hope in. So some of us, you know, I hope that one day I'm smart enough that this will help. Do me a favor, take one of the dots that's on you and just cover up each of these with me. I'm afraid of the future, but not if we are just looking forward to the living hope. Cover up that one. No one loves me. Well, that's not true. Scripture, all over the scripture, it tells us to the extent of how much Jesus loves us. And then it says, if I only had. Some of us, we are hoping that one day something will happen and this. Our hope is in nothing this earth can offer. It's only in Jesus. And then some of us, it's how we look. And we can cover that up because we know that that can never, ever give us hope. So what's really interesting here is when we cover up the dots, all we're left with is what Jesus says about us. He says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says that I have loved you with an everlasting love and I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. So he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we may die to sins and live to righteousness by his wounds. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. What happens if we hope in the wrong things? We begin to feel hopeless and be let down. Just like in that story of Punchinello, he cared so much what the other Wemmicks think. In 2017, we can make it a year where all we care about is what our Heavenly Father thinks of us and that our inheritance is in him. As we close out, before we get into communion, as we close out with this third point right here, it says, last but not least on your sheet, it says that hope should change the way that we treat other people. In this verse, this last verse right here, what it says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. What Peter is illustrating is that once you and I have the living hope, that we can actually begin to love other people selflessly. Because when we don't have living hope, a lot of times we're tied up in a trial. A lot of times we are tied up, we are all tied up in what we think about ourselves. But when we realize the words of Jesus in Scripture are all that matter, we can suddenly be full of hope and we can be people that love each other the best. And there's no better way to celebrate 2017 than being in church and taking communion. And you should have received one of these when you walked in. If you didn't, slip up your hand. One of our ushers would love to give you the communion piece. Now, parents with kids, if you could do me a favor, this is a little tough to untie, but it has a top plastic piece with a little wafer, and then the bottom piece lets you into the grape juice or the symbols of the blood. Just take a second and undo that. You're going to have to help your kids with that, or else it can get everywhere. Help your kids undo that really quick. If we could, put up that very last slide for me with at the end. So just to encourage you for 2017, if you're in this room and maybe you're like, Pastor Andy, I'm not sure if I've ever received that gift of salvation. We talked earlier that living hope is this gift that we've received from Christ, from his death and resurrection. And some of us, there may be one or two people who are like, you know, I'm not sure if I have it. Or maybe you're like some of the adults in the room. We need to kind of dust off our salvation. If we could, before we take communion, if we could bow our heads across this room. And today, if you would like to dust your salvation off, if you say, Pastor Andy, I got saved like several years ago, but it is just like that gift you were talking about it. I feel hopeless. I feel lost. Or maybe you're in this room and you're not sure if you've ever received the gift of salvation. Could you do me a favor? Just slip your hand up. If you want to dust off and recommit your life to Jesus, I see that hand. I see that hand. Awesome. I see that hand. This is great. I'm going to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. There's hands all over the congregation right now of people that want to dust their salvation off or maybe make that new commitment. Now, with everyone's heads bowed, I'm going to lead you through a simple prayer. And Scripture says that if we confess with our mouth that we need him, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So the prayer I'm going to lead you through, let's do this together. Let's have the whole room to start off 2017. Let's recommit our lives to Jesus. Everyone together say, Dear Jesus, I need you. Father, help me to put my hope in you. I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. In Jesus' name, amen.